Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. 13 Hours by Mitchell Zuckoff is a narrative nonfiction account of the 2012 attacks on U.S. facilities in Benghazi, Libya, told primarily through the experiences of the American security personnel who fought to defend their colleagues and evacuate survivors. The book focuses on a small team of former military operators working as contractors who responded under extreme uncertainty, limited resources, and rapidly changing threats. Rather than approaching the event as an abstract policy debate, it reconstructs the night as a sequence of urgent decisions, movements between locations, and moments of courage and loss. Zuckoff presents the story in a scene-driven style that aims to place readers alongside the defenders as they interpret fragmentary information, coordinate with local contacts, and confront tactical problems such as visibility, communications, and medical care. The result is both a close-up portrait of crisis response and a wider view of how fragile security can become when diplomacy, intelligence, and local politics collide in a volatile environment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a minute-by-minute reconstruction of a fast-moving attack, a defining feature of 13 Hours, is its emphasis on pacing and sequence. The book treats the Benghazi incident not as a single event, but as multiple interlocking emergencies unfolding across time and space. Readers follow how the initial assault develops, how information arrives in incomplete fragments, and how decisions are made with imperfect situational awareness. This approach highlights the reality of crisis conditions where reliable timelines are hard to establish while events are still unfolding. The narrative tracks movement between key sites, the escalation from confusion to sustained fighting, and the repeated need to reassess priorities such as rescue, defense, and evacuation. By focusing on what the responders knew in the moment, rather than what later investigations concluded, the story emphasizes how quickly assumptions can fail. It also shows how planning and training intersect with improvisation, when attackers, terrain, and local dynamics create unexpected constraints. The minute-by-minute framing makes the night feel less like a distant headline and more like a series of tactical puzzles. It encourages readers to think about how emergencies are managed in real time, where even small delays, missed messages, or misread cues can have life-changing consequences. Secondly, the role of security contractors and the ethics of protection work. The book puts the spotlight on the security team, former military professionals working in a contractor capacity. It explores what that work looks like on the ground, including readiness routines, weapons and equipment considerations, local liaison relationships, and the personal discipline required to stay effective. Without romanticizing violence, the narrative illustrates why such teams are used in unstable regions and what kinds of responsibilities they assume when conventional support is limited. The contractors are depicted as neither detached mercenaries nor simple action heroes, but as people balancing duty, professional identity, and the knowledge that they operate in politically sensitive environments. The story raises ethical and practical questions that often surround private security, such as accountability structures, coordination with official channels, and how rules and guidance can shape split-second choices. It also reveals the emotional toll of being asked to protect others while lacking full control over broader operational decisions. For readers, this topic clarifies how modern security architectures function in conflict-adjacent zones, where official diplomacy and intelligence activities still depend on protective layers. It invites reflection on what competence, restraint, and courage mean in a job defined by risk and ambiguity. Thirdly, communication, coordination, and the fog of war. Another core topic is the challenge of communication during a rapidly evolving attack. The book shows how coordination depends on radios, phones, local contacts, and chain of command decisions, all of which can be disrupted by distance, infrastructure limits, and confusion. Messages may be delayed, misunderstood, or incomplete, and different groups may hold different pieces of the puzzle. This creates the classic fog of war problem, where the need for action outpaces the ability to verify facts. The narrative demonstrates how responders try to build a coherent picture from scattered reports, while also managing immediate demands such as securing perimeters, moving casualties, and anticipating new assaults. It also underscores how coordination is not simply a technical matter but a human one, relying on trust, judgment, and the ability to remain calm under pressure. Readers see how small coordination failures can compound, and how strong teamwork can partially compensate for missing information. This topic broadens the book beyond a single event by illustrating a universal crisis lesson: communication is a fragile lifeline. Whether in military operations, emergency management, or organizational leadership, the ability to pass clear information and align people quickly can determine outcomes when time is scarce. Fourthly, courage, trauma, and the psychological cost of survival. 13 Hours places significant emphasis on the human dimension of combat, like stress, including fear, adrenaline, and the mental focus required to keep functioning. The book portrays courage as action taken while fully aware of danger, not as the absence of it. Readers are exposed to how responders manage their bodies and minds when sleep-deprived, surrounded by uncertainty, and forced to make decisions with life or death consequences. The aftermath, both immediate and longer term, is also an important thread. Survival does not end when the shooting stops, because memory, grief, and moral injury can persist. This topic helps readers understand that heroism has a cost, including the burden carried by those who tried to do everything possible and still faced loss. The narrative also provides insight into the bonds formed in extreme situations, where mutual reliance becomes a source of strength. By keeping the focus on people rather than abstract politics, the book invites empathy and a deeper appreciation for what trauma can look like in capable, highly trained individuals. It also encourages readers to consider the support systems that responders need, not only operationally during a crisis, but emotionally afterward. Lastly, Benghazi as a case study in vulnerability and preparedness, beyond the night itself. The book implicitly functions as a case study in the vulnerabilities that emerge when institutions operate in unstable environments. It highlights how security posture, local threat conditions, contingency planning, and resourcing decisions can interact in ways that are difficult to predict but devastating when risks converge. The narrative invites readers to think about preparedness not as a checklist but as an adaptive capability. Questions naturally arise about what signals were visible, how threat assessments are interpreted, and how organizations weigh mission objectives against protective needs. Without presenting itself as a policy manual, the book still conveys practical lessons about redundancy, rapid response, and the importance of clear authority during emergencies. It shows how quickly a situation can shift from manageable to catastrophic, and how the window for effective intervention may be brief. This topic is relevant for readers interested in security studies, crisis leadership, or any field where risk management matters. The Benghazi incident becomes a lens for understanding the limits of control in volatile contexts, and the importance of planning for scenarios that feel unlikely until they happen. The book encourages careful, evidence-based thinking about how to reduce exposure and strengthen response capacity. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a ground-level understanding of the Benghazi attacks, including those interested in modern conflict, security work, emergency response, and the lived experience of high-stress decision-making. It is also valuable for general nonfiction readers who prefer narrative-driven history that centers on people rather than abstract debate. The main benefit to a reader's life is the way it clarifies how crises unfold in real-time information is partial, priorities clash, and effective action depends on teamwork, preparation, and composure. Those lessons translate beyond combat into leadership, risk management, and personal resilience. Compared with many titles that approach Benghazi primarily through political argument, 13 Hours distinguishes itself by maintaining a close focus on the defenders and the operational reality of the night. That emphasis helps readers form a more concrete mental model of events and reduces reliance on speculation. As a purchase, it offers strong narrative momentum while still delivering meaningful insight into security environments and the cost of service. If you want an immersive account that emphasizes actions, constraints, and consequences, this book provides a compelling and memorable perspective. If you would like to support Mitchell Zuckoff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.